Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, I'll say a word, and then you'll just respond. The word is Syria.
Syria. A very big challenge to the administration and Congress as to get something done in a way that is, I think, avoiding violence, additional violence in the Mideast. It's been an awesome challenge, but I think that hopefully we may see a fairly decent resolve for the region. I think the president did the right thing by coming to Congress, asking for authorization. While that vote was delayed, I believe that the reach to diplomacy will prove to be the strong card here.
So does Obama come out a winner or a loser in this?
I think that he comes out a winner because his requirement or his belief that we should move forward and express our military might have been the threat that brought common sense into the equation with Assad and Putin.
Has he learned anything? In other words, we don't really know as Americans what was going on, right? I mean, there may have been backchatting between the Russians and us. We know that he met with Putin. We know that Kerry just dropped a remark about, you know, all they have to do is get rid of it, but that won't happen. The next day, within a New York second, we're hearing that it's getting done. Sounded like a setup to me.
You're right, we probably will never know. But, you know, the good thing here is that rather than reaching to an airstrike, we hopefully will have a diplomatic resolve. And I believe, you know, the struggles there within that region, the civil wars within nations, the cultural, religious differences that are tough to bridge, make it a near impossible situation. And, you know, having read the classified information, the reports that were presented by U.S. intelligence, it was a very horrific situation. And, you know, I think this shows that we're not only a mighty military force, but our democracy is a very strong sort of democracy that has a balance to it and has input and has congressional, you know, checks and balances on an executive branch. I think that was a great statement.
Now, the president, Paul Tonko, is supposed to have uttered the other day that where Iran was concerned, there was a red line in the sand. He used that line again. So can we expect, you think, that this is what we're going to be looking forward to from now on? It worked the last time. Maybe it'll work this time.
You know, I think we need to set the tone. Of course, situations get modified. Dynamics like whether or not allies are there for us. You know, when Britain had said no with their vote, when the Arab League was not going to be there as a regional strategy, when the UN probably wasn't going to intervene because of the veto power of Russia, those were telling factors that, you know, adjusted, bought time for the given scenario. I think that, you know, setting that tone, especially in this case of chemical warfare and weapons of mass destruction, the atrocities of all of this, when you see hundreds of children killed in the outcome, you know, the respect and value that we have placed on human life as Americans needs to be calculated in our actions somehow.
So, Paul Tonko, it has been said we're the only superpower now, United States. Putin has been putting his elbow in Obama's eye for a while now, obviously showing off for his constituency. But does this prove we have a lot of power?
I think it proves we have a lot of power, a lot of influence. But in terms of our military strategy, I think we need to understand that our troops are exhausted. We're in the midst of the longest war in our nation's history. We're in several conflicts. And you can't continue to, you know, impact the military in that way. And then sequestration can have its hidden grip on some of the investments that we need to make. I think it becomes very obvious that if we had gone into Syria in a more full-fledged military type of operation, something would have to give within the construct of our military operations. Somewhere there would have to be a weakening so that we could strengthen a commitment in Syria, which would have, you know, I think would not have worked well. But we have a situation where the troops are exhausted, where the taxpayers are saturated with the price tag for war, and where they're very intolerant right now of going to war because of a domestic agenda that has been ignored and because of taxes that, as a burden on the middle-income community, are exhausting.
What about clients? I mean, we have to be nice to the Saudis. We need the oil. We've always been nice to them. They're our friends over there. They're anything but a democracy. So does it bother you that in satisfying a so-called client or friend, we risk getting into something we have no business being in?
Yeah, it's troublesome. And I think, you know, when you look at most of this history of involvement in these conflicts in the Mideast, undeniably, the commodity of oil is a big thing. It's a big factor. Our gluttonous dependency on fossil-based fuels imported from some of the most unfriendly nations to the U.S. make that a tragedy of sorts. And the sooner we begin to think in terms of energy independence, can we ever dream of being totally independent? Perhaps not, but much more self-sufficient, much less reliant on some of these nations that, you know, put us in a scenario where they are the tail wagging the dog.
Does it ever trouble you that there are really no right sides in these civil wars? You have, you know, the Shia versus the Sunni. You help one side, you're really hurting the other side.
Well, and it's a wait-and-see pattern, too. I mean, with some of these disruptions in the hierarchy in Egypt and perhaps even in Assad's case in Syria,
sure.
You know, some of the questioning was, you know, well, should we go in and knock out the regime? Well, you can maybe put that on your agenda, but what's the displacement about? What's the replacement?
Sure. We learned our lesson, I think, right, with Osama bin Laden. We helped him in Afghanistan, and look what we got.
So I think, you know, the strategy to reach to diplomacy, to get a resolve at the table, to perhaps make that the common theme, to undo the chemical warfare pileup that they have, and embracing an agenda that speaks to the humanitarian rights of Syrians or people living in the Mideast, that can come along, I think, with us being a facilitator or a steward out there and building the strength of the people so that they can, so that we can all best hope for a best outcome.
Last question in this most interesting and serious conversation. Do you trust Assad to keep his word?
Well, you know, I think there are enough pressure. I hope that there's enough pressure points that he will keep his word. You know, with an international monitoring of their undoing, their stockpile of chemical warfare, chemical weapons, that I think will allow for the checks and balances. And he knows that, well, put it this way, I think with Russia as their ally here, Russia knows that they're in best hands, I think, if Assad stays their leader. So,
But on the other hand, if Russia allows him to break his word, what good is their word?
True. But I think they know that there's an international force here that has to reconcile the final outcome. And I think that will keep that pressure on to have everybody being in their best behavior.
Paul Tanko, you're a great guy to come in and sit here with us in the studio and talk to us each time.
Well, you're a great host.
And I thank you for that. My greatness in hosting doesn't begin to live up to your greatness in appearing here. Thank you.
We'll leave it at that.